Good morning. I appreciate the opportunity to share with you this morning. First, let me mention the table back there. We had at our church our missions weekend, Saturday and Sunday, a missions conference, and I came up with the idea of doing what I did back there, and the people seem to enjoy it. What it is there are, I believe, 14 different musical instruments from around the world, some that I got myself, some that I got from other people. And it's a little contest, is what it is, to see if you can guess. You might know, you might look at them and judge by how they're decorated or what kind of wood they're made out of and so on. I don't go too deep into that. If I were to do it without knowing, I don't know how well I'd do. But there's a little card. Take the card. It says place for your name, write your first and last name. Then on each instrument, there's a little card with A, B, C, or D. And then there are four countries listed under that. That instrument is from one of those countries. Your challenge is to, on your little card, say, I think it's number three country, so circle three for the letter of that instrument. Enjoy doing it. What we're going to do is, afterward, after I collect it all, there's a little box there you put your card in. I'll take them home. I'll find the top three people got the most. I'll let Pastor Brendan know. I'm leaving some prizes with him. And so those top three get to choose from some books and a couple of small music instruments. So I trust you enjoy that. Speaking of where did I get this, people often ask me when I wear an outfit from somewhere else, where did I get this? Simple answer is I got it out of my closet, just like you got your clothes out of your closet. But the top itself is from Mongolia, very challenging country. Let me share with you, I thought about this in our prayer time after the mic had gone to the back. My wife, Liz, would love to be here. Woke up this morning, she said, I'm sick. I just can't go. She was so sorry. But a prayer request that she and I would give you is for our youngest son. We have four children, all married, three boys, one girl. The girl, gal, woman, just got married last July. She's been looking forward to that for a long time. She's 46. But the youngest son grew up in, quote, CEF, Child Evangelism Fellowship, as we were involved in ministry. He spent his summers in his high school years doing summer missionary ministry with CEF. One summer, probably following his senior year, he went overseas to Kenya with CEF to do ministry among boys and girls, share the gospel with them. When he graduated high school, he went to Moody Bible Institute. There he met Rochelle. They both graduated Moody Bible Institute. They live now in Washington State. They have a boy, 9, a girl, 7, and they've just adopted a little 5-year-old from China. The thing that breaks our heart is not only are they not walking with the Lord, Mark says, I don't know if I even believe in God. Some of you may have the same situation, but it's heartbreaking, but it's good to know that our God is sovereign. I've lived that through my whole life. God impressed that on me at a young age. He is sovereign. He is in control. And he's in control of that situation. We pray for them as we pray knowing that he is working in some way. We don't know how. We were out there last week in October in Washington State. And they were we were watching for an opportunity to be alone with the children, because as grandparents, we felt we have a responsibility to share Christ with them. We've done that. We send them books for the kids and so on. But there was never a time when we were alone with either Mark and or Rochelle or the kids. And I kept asking the Lord, where's the opportunity? When? And there didn't seem to be a time when we were there. I was able to say some things to the the children, to encourage them to be thinking about God. Rochelle told Liz that they're not celebrating Christmas anymore. They celebrate winter solstice. That's different than happy holidays. Happy solstice, I guess. It's really a burden on our hearts. And if you pray for us, as you pray for us, please pray for Mark, Rochelle, Casper, Alice, and Fern. I'd like to begin today by Casper, Alice, and Fern. We'd appreciate that. I'd like to begin today by sharing. Actually, in coming, I asked Pastor Brendan, what do you want me to share? And so he gave me, not an outline, but he gave me an idea of what would be good to share. And so I'm going to follow that as I share with you this morning. First, sharing a bit about CEF. For organization's sake, CEF, Worldwide Ministry, we've broken our world down into 8 regions. We have the North America, Caribbean area, North America, Caribbean, we have Latin America, Europe, and Europe includes all of the former Soviet Union, because we were doing ministry in part of the Soviet Union beginning back in 1960. We had a fellow who was leading their work in Finland, and he was traveling in more to the European part of Russia and Latvia, Lithuania, Estonia. But we are including all of 11 time zones in Russia, all of it in Europe. Then we have the Middle East, 3 African regions, West and Central Africa, East and Central Africa, Southern Africa, Indian Ocean Islands, and then Asia Pacific. We have regional directors for each of these regions. All regional directors are from that region. It used to be expatriate missionaries out, but now we have regional directors who are from those regions except for the Middle East. And these men come together 2 to 3 times a year at our headquarters, and it's a joy to work with them. They're godly men. One of our more challenging areas is the Middle East. Now, our Middle East consists of the Middle East itself, what we would consider that, plus North Africa, because a lot of Arab-speaking countries, and also the South Central Asia, India, Pakistan, Nepal, Bangladesh, and so on. One thing that is seen often in many of these countries are camels. Our regional director for Middle East took the word camel, and he's using it as an acrostic for an emphasis we have starting this time of the year of Christmas party clubs. Basically, camel means Christmas across Middle East lands, camel. I'd like to share with you what the Lord did last year through the Christmas party clubs in the Middle East. The Lord used 280 staff to hold nearly 4,000 trainings, attended by over 57,000 teachers, who held nearly 163,000 Christmas party clubs, reaching over 5.8 million children, with over 2 million of them professing Christ as Savior. To me, that's amazing, especially when we're talking Middle East. Most of those countries are restricted countries. CEF has identified 207 countries, territories, and so on, with a goal to establish ministry in each one. The founder of CEF, Mr. Oberholzer, received a burden from the Lord to pray for children in every country of the world. And with his globe, he put his finger on a country, and he prayed for the children of every country of the world until he got to Russia, and he just couldn't do that. The Lord didn't lift the burden until he prayed for Russia. He prayed for children in every country of the world, so we determined back in 2008 that we would make a determined effort to establish CEF ministry in every country of the world, not because of CEF, but because of the children, to do our part in helping churches reach boys and girls for Jesus Christ. A good number of those that we refer to, we call sensitive countries. We actually have our countries broken down into three groups. Green country, we can say anything about what's going on there, name the workers, and so on. Yellow countries, we will mention that we are doing something in the country, but we don't say anything beyond that. Red countries, we don't even share that we're doing anything in the country. Because we need to protect our people there. Reports we've got just recently of one or our leaders in one of the North African countries beaten, questioned by the police. He goes on with ministry because the children need to hear. But we need to protect those kind of people. Pray for them. Hebrews 13:3 says, remember those who are in bonds or in prison as if you were bound with them. Remember to me means pray for. So we'll say, pray for those who are in prison as if you were in prison with them. Pray for those who suffer adversity because you yourself are in the family of God. That's your brother or sister out there. We need to be praying for them. So we don't say much about those countries. When I talk about 5.8 million children being reached in the Middle East, I'd like to tell you where it would excite you. Let it excite you anyway, knowing that it's happening in some of those countries. In one of the countries, and this is apart from Christmas, no, it includes Christmas party club attendance. We'll mention later that last year the Lord, through ministries of CEF, allowed the gospel to be presented to over 25 million children. 20% of those, over 5 million, were in one of those countries in the Middle East. God is at work. God is doing great things for his glory, for the sake of the children. As we look at the last 15 years of worldwide ministry, you can see the number of CEF staff has just about doubled, for which we praise the Lord last 15 years. We have both expatriate and national missionaries serving worldwide. What is an expatriate missionary? What would that be? Can somebody tell me? What do we mean by that? They're not patriotic? No. What does expatriate mean? They've left their country to serve in another country, an expatriate missionary. And we have national missionaries who are serving in their own country. So of the 3,528 staff, what percentage would you consider would be expatriate? Give me a figure. What percentage expatriate? Excuse me? 40? Not that many. 32. That's a good number, but that's not right. Someone else? 10? Less than 10. 5? 4, actually. 4% of that number are expatriates and the rest are all nationals, because that's our goal of ministry, the national to do the ministry. In many of our countries now in the world where we have ministry, the ministry has been begun by nationals. In the very early years, when CEF began 82 years ago, missionaries went out from USA. Then they began going out from Ireland, in other words, other countries where ministry had been established. But as we train nationals to do the work in their own country, we're seeing many blessings. Actually, not that we don't want missionaries going out, expatriate missionaries going out, but in a sense, we don't need them. We do, and we don't. I don't want to say we don't need them, because the nationals need them to work alongside. But our national missionary staff is growing. For the past 30 years, Reese Kaufman, man of God, a man of vision, has been president of CEF, actually a volunteer president of CEF. And recently, I would say in the last year, the Lord specifically was speaking to him from Luke 10:2. Uh, you read it. I didn't have it printed out here, and I can't quite read that. So read it together. Somebody begin. And Reese said, there's a command there. It's not a suggestion. It's a command. Pray earnestly. What does pray earnestly mean? It means to plead with God. It means to beg. It means to cry out. There is a difference in crying out to God and praying, I think. Much more earnest, more determined. God, we need more people around the world, here and everywhere, to go out and do the work you call them to do. Not talking about only full-time ministry. I'm talking about each of us doing what he asks us to do. There are 7.7 billion people in our young people, and over 2 million of them are young people, boys and girls, under the age of 15. In some countries, it's up to 50% of the population. Barna Research and others confirmed that 80% of salvation decisions happen before the 15th birthday. CEF has been aiming at the children because they're ripe. As was said, the Lord said that you need to become like children. Children are tenderhearted, children are trusting. You could go on and on. They need to hear. They are lost. Last year, CF Ministries, I mentioned before, reached over 25 million boys and girls. That's his praise because it's his working in their lives through the power of his word. Our goal is to reach 100 million children each year. We cannot be satisfied where we are. You cannot be satisfied where you are in your walk with God. We need to press on. Our goal, 100 million each year. Consider this. On average, each CEF full-time worker reaches 8,000 children a year as he works with additional help and volunteers. That's taking the number of staff we have and the number of children reached. Now, if we have one more worker, we'd reach 8,000 more children. 10 more workers, we'd reach 80,000 more children. 100 more workers, we'd reach 800,000 more boys and girls. And if we had 1,000, 8 million more boys and girls to be reached. So our president has encouraged us around the world to be praying according to that command, praying earnestly, that God would send out more workers. We're praying not only for CEF, but especially for CEF ministries. And the different regional directors are setting goals for each year, how many they would like to see come through our three-month training institute, go into full-time ministry. That's our goal, to increase worldwide staff by 1,000 in 3 years' time. They go off the charts. Can God do that? Sure you can, Ephesians 3:20, right? One of our basic ministries is training. We have all sorts of different training programs and a three-month institute. We have a two-week teaching children effectively, levels 1 and 2. We have weekly training going on, training for Christmas party clubs, training others to reach boys and girls, and training others to teach others to reach boys and girls. One of our basic children's ministries is the Good News Club. How many have heard of the Good News Club? Okay, it's a club for boys and girls that meets once a week, usually during the school year. It could be any day during the week. And the gospel is shared with them through various Bible lessons. Our teachers don't tell Bible stories. They give Bible lessons because it's the truth with the story that's so important for the child. You can see there's a tremendous growth just in 15 years in the Good News Clubs. And I'd like to share with you the reason for that growth. When we think of the year 2001 and we think of the date 11, what do you think of? September 11. I want to take you to June 11 because June 11, the U.S. Supreme Court voted in favor of telling all public elementary schools in the nation that if they allow any other organization to use their facilities after everywhere in the nation allow Good News Clubs. That's everywhere in the nation. We've had, in some of our local areas, we've had people push back on that, superintendents or principals. And if they push back hard enough, then we get Liberty Counsel involved, and they have gone to court for us well over 450 times, and they won every one because the Supreme Court said, yes, you must allow. So that's that elementary school that's near you. You can go and have, actually, let me just say this. We call these after-school Good News Clubs, and we encourage churches to sponsor them, not only by providing the materials that are necessary, but providing the staff, the team that will go into the school. For the five-county area, capital area, CEF in Lansing, is ready to help in that. They will contact the school. We need to find somebody, I think a teacher in the school that will sponsor the club. But it's an open door. The Bible is no longer banished from our school, maybe during school hours, I don't know, but after school, it's a wide open door. And children are already there. They don't have to go somewhere else and try to come together in a neighborhood. That happens as well. So because of that, Supreme Court is growing. And in many other countries in the world, they didn't have to go to the Supreme Court. The schools are just wide open for believers to go in and share the gospel with boys and girls. They welcome them. You can see the number of children reached with the gospel in the last 15 years has grown by 500%. That's because of prayer to the God who can do anything and because of working for him, doing what he asks us to do. So we're excited about that. Let's go to Africa and see what God is doing in South Sudan. You know, for up until the year 2011, it was just Sudan. And then the country was divided in 2011 into Sudan, the north, and South Sudan. And South Sudan then was much more open for us to establish and carry on ministry. But it wasn't long after independence was given that the North decided to resume their tactics and put pressure. Fighting broke out. Since then, over 4 million people have fled their homes. Over 2 million have fled the country. And in just recent few years, our national director, you see him shown there, Francis Kandiga, had to leave as well. They had to just, let me just read. Some of what I'm going to read, Francis said, and so I'll let you know when I'm reading what he says. He says, everyone was fleeing for their lives. There was an attack in our area which forced almost everyone to leave. We tried to resist, persist, but soon everyone had to flee. I left with my family, leaving all of my belongings behind. Everything. Everything was in disarray. All of my staff went to different directions. There was no time to know who was where. Small country of Uganda took in over 800,000 refugees, and that's where this story is set, in the refugee camps of Uganda. Francis says, currently each person receives 5 kilograms of maize flour and beans and a little bit of cooking oil, which should last for a month, and it can't. People, mostly children, are starving and dying of preventable illnesses. There's no work they can do to earn money. They can't even grow a garden due to the water shortages. Every aspect of life is very difficult, he says. Many countries have activated relief efforts to save physical lives, but there's something else that's very essential, and that's what? Spiritual lives. The boys and girls, young people, and men and women. Francis and his family crossed the border into northern Uganda. For 3 months, Francis worked to settle his family and find his staff members. He found all 11, each one in a different camp, but all in Uganda. When they were all together, they realized they were not wanderers, but that God had brought them there. Annette Kidden, Ida, I think her name would be pronounced, is education director for CEF in South Sudan. She remembers the day that she fled. It was only a short time to gather her belongings and run on foot. She had the presence of mind to gather some of her CEF teaching materials, Bible lessons, memory verses, missionary stories. That type of material is heavy and wouldn't have allowed her to carry much else. She said, I knew there would be children wherever I go, and I would be able to use them to reach the boys and girls. With help from CEF of Kenya workers, they trained 79 teenagers to reach children in five-day clubs and Good News clubs in the camps. And Francis says, God opened massive opportunities for the children to hear the gospel. We're so excited. There are 55 Good News clubs operating in the schools within the refugee camps. It's amazing how the Lord is working the lives of the children. Additionally, they've been able to bring out groups of children from the refugee camps to attend camps, Bible camps in nearby towns. And then he said this, we thought our ministry was ending when we left South Sudan. But we realized that God was turning everything to good. In South Sudan, we were only ministering in a small area because of a small support base. Now here, we are with South Sudanese from every community concentrated in a small area. Children come from all parts of South Sudan here to listen to the gospel that we could not take to them before. Now they are here, all of them. In South Sudan, they were reaching between 5,000 and 15,000 children in a year. Last year, they reached 183,000 in the refugee camps because God used the situation to bring the children together in a concentrated area, and they're continuing to reach out. I don't know how they want. He said they want to reach 500,000 children by January of next year. We'll see. I'll let you know how that goes. Jesus gives us a great commission. This is Francis as well. Go, therefore, make disciples of all nations. Sometimes going is not in our plans, but God moves us somewhere new and enables us to do his will amid difficult circumstances. One of the head teachers in one of the schools in the Bidi Bidi refugee settlement, school of about 5,000 children, where CEF is running a week of Good News Club, said this, CEF has helped us so much with the spiritual activities in our school. We have a big number of children in our schools, and it would be so hard to control and discipline the pupils. But your program has made our pupils, he really means God's word, has made our pupils so obedient that we do not struggle much in disciplining them. Most of our children are now born again. When it's time for this program, children come with their chairs 15 minutes before time, and then my staff and I join them. We love the word of God in our school. Even our Muslim children love this ministry. CEF, because of refugees, not only there, but in other places in the world, put together a book called A Better Life. This is in English and Arabic. So, starts this way. They go from the back. So it's in Arabic, but it's also in English or whatever other country or language we want to translate it into. And it takes the life of Abraham to share the good news, the gospel, because Abraham was a refugee. He went out to a place where he didn't know anybody. He was in a strange land. These kids in refugee camps are estranged from their own country, from sometimes from their own families if they didn't get to go together. And so this is an excellent book that we're seeing used powerfully in refugee situations. Okay, gotta go. Actually, just to ask you to pray for North Korea. Open Doors has a world watch list of 50 top countries in hostility toward the gospel. The top 10, I usually like to look at every year, and North Korea has been number one for a number of years in a row. Very difficult country, you know about that. That's a picture of South Korea with the lights at night, a night photo from space. South Korea in the lower part, Lights, there's only one little area of light in the capital of North Korea because they don't have things. And one thing they don't have is the gospel. Up to maybe 100,000 believers in labor camps. Very difficult situation, but God's going to open the door. But we're praying for it. South Korea, CEF, has identified 31 cities in the north. They have already identified the CEF worker who will go there when the door opens. They have teaching materials set aside. They have about $3,000 to $4,000 set aside for each city so that when that door opens, they're ready to go in and share the gospel. Pray for North Korea. I need to move quickly through these next ones. One is, this is kind of our, especially for those who don't know us or haven't followed through with us in our ministry. The CD cover, Bashful to Bold, is something that Hong Kong CEF asked me if they could write a missionary story based on my life for them to use in their camps in Hong Kong. So we worked on that in the year 2013, and this was the result. So I'm going to use some pictures from what they put together. Their Hong Kong artists put together, dressed us a little bit different sometimes, but I'll go through this quickly. In kindergarten, that's me standing at the side. I was ultra bashful. Didn't even want to get out and play games with the kids. I just watched. Wished I was out there. I just didn't have the nerve to do it. And that bashfulness followed me right through elementary school, high school, and on into when I went into studies at Grand Rapids School of Bible and Music. But there the Lord began to work in my life. One way he worked in my life is that I met my wife, Liz. Not my wife at the time, but God drew us together, and we began to walk together with him. We married 1 week after graduating from Grand Rapids School of Bible and Music. 2 days later, we began our CEF three-month institute. From there, we went right into ministry. Our first area of ministry was in Kalamazoo County. We were there for 2 years. Then our state director asked us if we would take the ministry in Wayne County, which is the Detroit area. So for 5 years, we were in local ministry. During that time, the Lord spoke to my heart about joining a small team of CEF missionaries in Vienna, Austria, reaching out into the then communist countries of Eastern Europe. I think it was about that time that Grove Bible began supporting us financially and in prayer. How many of you were attending Grove Bible in 1971? How many of you were not even born in 1971? Bless your hearts. The main ministry in our what we called European outreach was to go in and challenge believers from God's word that boys and girls are lost, that they need to come to Christ, that we can bring them to Christ through the power of his word. So it was equipping, challenging, training, and equipping believers. By 1983, the Lord very clearly directed us to move to Missouri and begin ministering in our international headquarters in the International Ministries Department. During that time, we were able to travel to many countries and have opportunity to teach children in small groups. This was a time in India. We went to a school and they brought all of their students together. There were about 2,500 students standing for 20 minutes to hear the gospel shared with them. He gave us opportunity to encourage and challenge and equip and help our believers in many different areas of the world. In 2012, I went on a trip up a river, up and down the river, one of the rivers called Yenisei in Siberia. Our man I mentioned before who was leading the work in Finland but was working into Russia, when 1989 came, he turned that over to others who could continue that work, and he focused on the river ministries, because they're along some of the rivers in Siberia. There are villages that you cannot reach by vehicle, only by river. And so he, until he retired, he made probably 25 trips up and down the rivers, 11 rivers in Siberia. And as I was able to go with him, a boat much bigger than that, an 85-foot boat, we were able to do open-air work, our translator there, either in the open air or in schools or in libraries, wherever. Gus, with his experience, that was the fellow I was with, he doesn't know what not being bold means. And so the Lord opened doors where in a country that would not have happened years and years ago. God was good. So the Lord had to take a very bashful kid and work and work and work on him until it was somebody he could use by his grace. We are now in active retirement. The Hong Kong artist, I don't know if she was trying to make us Chinese in that or not, but she took it from this picture, so she was pretty close. She did pretty well. I retired February 2012, Liz, December 2012, but it was really active retirement because I kept volunteering for CEF. In 2014, we moved back to our home state of Michigan and got active on the state board of CEF. And I am a proofreader. I've got a t-shirt that says, "I am silently correcting your grammar." Unfortunately, that's true because it's there. I just can't help it. And we get the newspaper and I have to be careful because I used to go through and circle with a red pencil everything, all the errors, you know. God has equipped me to do that, to do proofreading, to catch things that others might miss. So I continued to do that when we moved up. In 2015, I was honored to be asked to serve on the CEF International Board of Trustees. I went to four meetings, I think, and in the fourth meeting, our president and our vice president of international ministries asked me if I would come back for a two-year assignment at headquarters. So they provided a home for us. I went back at what I was being paid when I left. And we lived there. We'd be there 2 months, and we'd come back up here for a week to check on our house, 2 months, then a week, back and forth. And it was a blessed time. One thing that I was doing was, toward the end of that time, training the person who was going to take my place. Because we had had two of our leaders in international ministries resign, and Moses stepped in as vice president, and so I was working under him, and it was a blessed time. I didn't think I was ever going to have opportunity to travel again, but I was able to last year go to Ghana for an All-Africa conference, which was great because I could meet people I hadn't seen in years, and I could meet people whose faces I'd known. Good ministry. So then we came back to Michigan end of last year, and I continued to serve a few hours each week, part-time, proofreading, editing, theological review for headquarters, and I also proofread and edit newsletters for some of our CEF chapters here in Michigan. I wish more would let me do it. I read some other letter. I didn't say that. This is what I want us to see. Go back with me thousands of years to a situation where God, our sovereign God, knew all about the children of Israel suffering in Egypt. And their cry came out to him, "Save us from our slave drivers." And God, in his wisdom, had been preparing Moses, the backside of the desert, keeping the sheep, Jethro's sheep. And God speaks, as you know, to Moses in a burning bush. And he says, "I have heard Israel crying out. I'm going to deliver them." Now imagine Moses failed at his attempt to deliver them when he killed the Egyptian and he had to run for his life. So the prince of Egypt is out taking care of sheep and God is preparing him. But God comes and says, "I'm going to deliver them." I can imagine that thrilled Moses' heart. God's going to deliver them, finally, after so many years. And then God said, I've chosen you to go. And Moses said, that's just what I was waiting for. Or if not. I kind of, years ago, would put myself in Moses' place. I can't do that, Lord. Not me. Somebody else. Basically, that's what he said at the end, wasn't it? Send somebody else. Moses had all kinds of questions. And they were valid questions. And God didn't scold him for asking questions, did he? But what did he do? He gave him answers. But what did Moses do? He didn't accept the answers that God was giving. He didn't say, oh, okay, you'll be with me. It's all well and good. God had to say, okay, we'll take Aaron along. He can be your spokesperson. We have opportunities that God gives us. We can call them divine appointments. And in those, we have the same promises that Moses had. You're not expected to go alone. I am is going with you, Moses. I am is going with you in whatever that divine appointment he has for you. The one who God chooses, he equips. Moses, we need to accept God's answer. And it's okay to ask questions, but you need to accept God's answers. I had to learn that. I had to learn those truths. And each one of us needs to learn those truths if we're going to be ready for whatever God has for us. I don't know where he might be sending you. Maybe even now there's something that he's been putting on your heart and you've been hesitating doing what he asks you to do. John 15:16 says, you didn't choose me. I chose you. And I appointed you. I didn't ask you to volunteer. I appointed you to go and bear fruit that your fruit would remain. And then he says, I chose you, Jesus Christ. Think of it. Jesus Christ chose you to bear fruit. My life verse, 1 Samuel 12:24, only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart. Serve him, first of all, in truth, with all your heart, for consider what great things he has done for you. And then Ephesians 3:20, not to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. I think about that, and I think all we ask or think, and things also imagine. We have great imaginations. We can imagine big things. You cannot imagine anything big enough that God can't do it. Because he can do, he says, not only I can do what you ask or think, I can do above what you ask or think. I can do abundantly above what you ask or think. I can do exceedingly. We have no idea what he can do. He's God. And sometimes we limit him by what we think can be done. John Wesley said this, do all the good you can, by all the means you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as ever you can. We need to be busy doing God's work. Don't let timidity, bashfulness, hesitancy get in your way. Just step out and do what he calls you to do. He puts before you that divine appointment. Do it. Just do it by his grace and in his strength. That's what he's asking of each of us. Thank you again for your faithfulness and praying for us through these years and your supporting us. We appreciate it so much. Let me pray. Father, we rejoice in you this morning, this afternoon. Thank you for your unconditional love. Thank you for your presence. Help us, Lord, to be conscious of your presence. And Lord, when you bring those divine appointments to our mind, to our attention, help us to trust you, our sovereign God. And say, here I am, Lord. I'll do it in your strength and by your grace for your glory. We pray in Christ's name.